Penguin Random House Audio presents Dream First, Details Later, How to Quit Overthinking and Make It Happen by Ellen Marie Bennett with Sarah Tomlinson. This is the author, Ellen Marie Bennett. Me. This book is dedicated to my abuelita, mami, and my tías. The strong Mexican women who raised and taught me to show up, never give up, and fight for what's right. And to all the dreamers, doers, and hustlers out there, anything is possible and everything is worth it. Prologue. Start before you stop. Hey, there's a girl. She's going to make us some aprons for the restaurant, said Chef Joseph, the head chef at Baco Mercat in L.A. Do you want to buy one? Everything froze. I was a cook in Chef Joseph's kitchen, and I didn't know the apron supplier, but I knew I did not want one of her aprons. Oh my God, do I say something about my apron company? I mean, it's not really an apron company yet, but it will be. My aprons are going to make everyone who wears them feel like they matter. They'll make them feel like the amazing cooks and artists and makers that they are. We all hate wearing these cheap, shitty, scratchy aprons that fit about as well as a hospital gown. This is my chance. The opportunity boat is sailing by. I have to get on it. Chef, I have an apron company, I said, taking a little liberty with the verb tense. I'll make you those aprons. What are you talking about? Chef Joseph said, giving me his steady, inquisitive look that I knew so well. You're a line cook in my kitchen. It was a fair point. I was a line cook in his kitchen, standing at my station, chopping vegetables. I have an apron company, chef. I started it recently. I would love to make you those aprons. I can totally do it. What is she charging you? What is she making them out of? What's her turnaround? I think I can do it faster and better. Well, she said she's going to take about 6 weeks. I could tell by his tone he was not too jazzed about that timeline. Well, I'll do it in 4, I said. Yeah, he said. Yeah, for real, I said. I've already been working on it. Well, I'd been talking to my coworker, Kevin, about it, and I actually just filed for a DBA, or doing business as, which is the very first step in registering a company. So it felt real enough, at least to me. But as for a quote-unquote company, that was pretty much all in my head. I didn't have a design. I didn't have a pattern. I didn't have fabric. I didn't even know where to buy fabric. I certainly didn't even know how to run a company. Nor did I have the infrastructure, or even anyone with a sewing machine. Yet. I had no idea how long it would take to do any of this, let alone all of it. But I was damn well going to try, and I was gonna get it done. Okay, all right. Cool, said Chef. Wait, what the fuck? Really? If I screwed up the aprons, I'd probably lose my job. Not to mention that I respected Chef Joseph to the moon and back, and I didn't want to mess this up. I could not let him down with an all-caps not. At the end of the night, I clocked out and called Kevin to tell him that we had a 40-unit order. Even though our last conversation had been about early-day decisions like finding fabrics and a pattern and what we'd call the company. My dream to make aprons had sprung from an observation of this thing that would happen at the end of a shift. The kitchen staff would change out of their work uniforms and come back in to grab their stuff, looking and carrying themselves like totally different humans, in their civvies, civilian clothes after work. Or, when I ran into them at the farmer's market on Sundays, they looked like real people with way more pep in their step and just generally more at ease. And by they, I mean we. Because in our standard issue aprons, which were either rented from a linen service or bought as cheaply as possible, we looked like we didn't matter. They were all but made of flimsy paper masquerading as fabric. They were so basic, they didn't even adjust around the neck, or have a useful pocket for our tweezers, pens, or Sharpies. Or if they did, they tore off with the slightest tug. At the night's end, we'd toss them aside, the feeling of disposability still clinging to us, and that just had to change. Does everyone in the kitchen feel so shitty before they look so shitty? What if they had a uniform that didn't make them feel like cogs in a wheel? In between slamming out orders on the line, Kevin and I would brainstorm ideas, which I'd jot down and stuff into my recipe book, right next to my cooking notes. For inspiration, all I had to do was look down at my own mangled apron. My pockets always got caught on the handles of the lowboy refrigerators and ripped off, with the floppy fabric left dangling. In between orders, I'd draw a sketch for a new style of pocket that had reinforced corners to stand up to the mayhem of kitchen work. "Okay, what do you think about this apron?" I'd ask Kevin. We'd have a quick exchange while he cooked up the Wagyu beef or whatever protein he was responsible for that night. And then, like a hummingbird, I'd flit back over to my kitchen station. He was much more introspective and liked to analyze everything. So between us, we created a good balance. Once again, however, Kevin and I had no plan, no supplies, and no manufacturing process. Now we had 4 weeks to get all of those things. Under these circumstances, I could have easily fallen into two states of disaster. One, I could have been so lost about how to proceed next that I ducked my head into my turtle shell and waited for it all to go away. What have I gotten myself into? I don't know if I can do this. This seems nuts. Or two, I could have tried to plan out every single detail of this company before moving forward with this process and overanalyzed every step we had to take so that the entire production turned into a tangled mess of missed due dates and failed plans. Instead, I chose progress over perfection and went with a method that had always carried me through before. Decide to do it. Try. Fail. Learn. Hustle. Go try again. And keep going, relentlessly. From an early age, I'd been leaping off many precipices without looking down. From repainting almost every room in my mom's house while she was at work, and without permission, which she later told me calmly and quietly was nice, to taking over her finances as a completely green high schooler because my single Mexican mom was stressed out about money. I figured out checkbooks and budgeting along the way. Not that I always stuck the landings. Far from it. As I'd already learned, mistakes are quite literally unavoidable, especially when you're running fast. But I realized that as long as I was in a forward motion and in action mode, I'd figure it out eventually. Okay, what are the elements that we need to make aprons? Well, we needed a pattern, fabric, sewers. And to lasso any of that, we needed money and the bones of a plan. I was making about $10 an hour as a line cook, minimum wage back then, so I wasn't earning quite enough to fund a whole manufacturing venture. I did ask Joseph for a deposit, and he agreed to pay me half up front, which was around $750. We supplemented that nest egg with about $500. It still wasn't much to launch a company. I didn't even own a sewing machine or know how to use one. But I knew what I wanted to make and how I wanted them to be. Now we needed some helping hands, and we needed them yesterday. Kevin thought to introduce me to his friend, another Kevin. Kevin Carney owned the design retail business Mohawk General Store. It quickly became clear that he had the know-how to make a pattern. Hooray! I didn't know how much he'd charge, but I had a sense that it'd be more than we could afford. So I thought about what I had to offer in exchange, instead of money. Well, I work as a private chef, and I'm a line cook at Baco Mercat, and at Providence, and that's a 2 Michelin-star restaurant. And people love a good meal. What if I barter food and meals for the things I need to get this company off the ground? I cook at Providence, which is fancy. So I said to Mohawk General Kevin, I'm going to make you food, and you make me that pattern. Deal? With his raised eyebrows radiating skepticism, but also curiosity, Mohawk General Kevin agreed. Sure, he probably thought I was a bit crazy and a lot desperate, but as long as I got my pattern, I didn't mind. I had an order to fill. As he sat in my divey kitchen with my roommates passing by in our little yellow house, I made Mohawk General Kevin a simple but beautiful omelet and salad breakfast. He was very agile with his pattern-making skills, holding the paper up to the light, trimming it here, editing it there, making it longer, and before I knew what had happened, the pattern was ready. From there, Mohawk General Kevin put us in touch with someone who knew a shoemaker, who had a guy who'd cut leather for him once. My Spanish came in handy. He invited us to his quote-unquote studio, located in a cul-de-sac full of old beat-up cars, random dogs running in the street, and what looked like a triplex in total disrepair. It was a low-key sewing facility being run out of someone's house. And he was an old-school shmata, Yiddish slang for rag seller, someone in the garment industry. Weathered by life, but rife with experience.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?